G'day everyone and welcome back to Giddy Up Podcast, episode number 5. Again, I'm joined by world champion Paralympic, Mr. Don Elgin.
Mate, I've just thought about that. We're up to episode 5. If we keep going, I'm going to run out of fingers.
How many you got, mate?
No, hear me. If we keep going, I'm going to run out of fingers. Jesus. I'm down to counting halves. Have a look at that thumb, mate. She's nothing.
Awesome. Now, like, we are pretty pumped for this episode, so we're not going to muck around. We're just thinking of getting straight into everything that's going on right now.
What have we got?
What got your attention this week?
Well, Don, we're not going to shy away from some of the shit stuff that happens in the world. And unfortunately, we did get a bit of a tragedy on the Australian sporting scene yesterday with Chumpy.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure we've got a news clip for it, JT. So we might play that, and then I'll just touch on my thoughts on that.
Known as a kind-hearted man with a love of people and the outdoors, Alex Chumpy Pullen's death has caused shockwaves. The 32-year-old was found underwater and unresponsive just before 11 o'clock at an artificial reef off the Gold Coast.
I tell you what, mate. When you hear of death, I mean, death is never a good thing, and but when you hear it of somebody who is just so full of life, somebody who's fun to be around, who's got an infectious smile, who actually has a crack at living, that's when it knocks you for six. And I must admit, I had a similar feeling when I heard that story of exactly that feeling of what I had when Steve Irwin died.
Oh, mate, that was gutting.
And it sort of just takes the wind out of you. And I mean, as I said, death's never good and people are dying all the time. And there's some people go, oh, we sort of almost try to rationalise it. Oh, they were old. They had a good innings. But it's Chumpy Pullen, mate. Like, he was at last 2014 flag bearer of the Winter Olympics. This guy, and of course, when you think of Olympics, I think Olympics and Paralympics, I sort of feel like it's part of my extended family in a way. And I'm sort of leveraging a little bit more there and giving myself a bit more credibility. But the reality is, it's one of somebody that I've connected with through the Victorian Institute of Sport, and it's bloody sad. It's just sad. Simple as that.
Mate, very sad. So RIP Chumpy, and hopefully he's running amok upstairs already.
Yeah, hopefully. And I think also too to his family that are absolutely feeling this. So and he's got a lot of close mates that are going to miss him. So, yep, RIP Chumpy.
Absolutely. Now, of course, one of the other things that's dominating the news, Donnie, especially if you're in Victoria, as we are, is restrictions are back.
Mate, even COVID thinks Melbourne's Australia's most livable city. We bloody win at everything, don't we?
Mate, we do. And, well, look, it's fair to say there's been a bit of anger in the community. A lot of people angry at Daniel Andrews and the government for the whole hotel's debacle. But we thought we'd tap into the community just to get a real sense of sort of how people are going. Yeah. So
are they saying?
Well, mate, you know us. We're going to go for people just sitting on the fence, just normal people. We don't want anyone that's
average
too opinionated.
Punters.
Just your average punter.
Me personally, I don't
Not really good. Sir, I don't really give a fuck.
Okay, good.
You know, I'm in lockdown.
Yeah.
Now, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
Mate, I live here. And you try to lock me out of bloody Wodonga and Albury? How am I supposed to get a Centrelink? No, that's what I'm really worried about, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Well, but of course I do. Well, where else would I go? Now, where do I go?
Just your average punter, Donnie.
Ah, yep, that's the voice of most Victorians at the moment. Oh, I don't give it, yeah. Well, anyway, he's feeling it, and I hope old mate realises real soon that after he gets his Centrelink that Dan Murphy's do deliver. So he might not need to leave the house after all.
On a serious note, we are all feeling it. It's pretty, you know, it's sort of been laughed about as, you know, detention 2.0 or whatever you want to call it, because we've been through it once before. We're back again, so we know what we're in for, and we know it's 6 weeks, and hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel. But, yeah, this one just seems to be a little bit harder, I think, because the rest of the country sort of seems like they're not rubbing
the
it
heels.
In, but, mate, they're partying, right?
Oh, bloody
everything's open.
And honestly, rightly so. This is what people haven't quite got their head around yet. You do the right things, you get the rewards, mate. We always get a receipt for our behaviour, JT. I'm a big fan of that. The receipt isn't always something bloody fantastic, and it's not always something bad. But the truth is, we get receipted for our behaviour. Our behaviour has been below par. We've bloody had protests. We've had different takes and beliefs around this corona thing. And the reality is it's out and now we're dealing with it.
Donnie, we said we're not going to go too hard political, but I want to pull you up on that because haven't we? We have done, the majority of us have done the right thing, yet we're paying the price for the stupid minority.
Well, that's
and that could be the people that were doing the protests. It could be the government's decision to you know, be scared of the unions. And we're the only state in Victoria that actually went with a private security firm to do the hotels. Every other state went with the police force or defence force, and no, we went with private. So there's some, you know.
Yeah, JT, I'm smelling a conspiracy. You got that look in your eyes, and you've touched on something. Look, admittedly, I went and stayed in New South Wales. So I spoke about this in previous podcasts, and we had the AFP on the doors, and I felt bloody safe and very secure. The up floors were for the public punters, and the downstairs were for return travellers. So not even positive COVIDs, just that was how they were locking them up.
Yep.
In Melbourne, had I have stayed in Melbourne, probably would have got myself some sex and stuff like that. Was disappointing. AFP didn't knock on my door and go, hey, haven't I got something for you? But anyway, tell me about this. Like you're onto something.
No conspiracy. It's widely circulated on social media that obviously the unions had a fair say in you know, what Daniel Andrews would be doing in regards to that.
How do the unions, buddy, determine who's looking after the hotels? What's the union's got to do with it?
I mean, we're going to get very political and we're staying away from that. But
I'm just trying to bait you because I know.
Really, I'm not going there. But there's plenty of information out there on Facebook or news if people want to read it. But don't worry, Don, because, I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, politics are stuffed in Australia and where's Scott Morrison been? And obviously Daniel Andrews has buggered everything. But I'll tell you what, I have found a solution, Don.
What is it?
Well, mate, in the US, not...
Oh, fuck. As soon as you say in the US and you talk politics, I'm just going, tune in, kids, we're out, bloody happy hour.
I'm not going Trumpy because there's more than enough commentary on Trumpy at all, but there is a saviour. I'm pleased to confirm now that Kanye West is running for president of the United States.
Kanye who?
Yeah, Kanye West, mate. Massive rapper, Kardashians.
I don't do much TV, JT. So I know Kardashians because like they're famous for being famous, right?
Yeah, correct.
So what's Kanye? Who is he?
Mate, he's a world famous rapper.
A rapper. So we've had a buddy. Where's Eminem? He's got to have a gig to his next bloody Disneyland or have Pluto going.
No, because look, a big part of being president, Don, is that you've got to. It's all about the policies. You've got to tune in with the people and you've got to have policies.
Now, I know you're a man of the information that's out there, JT. You would have done your research. You wouldn't come to the table without having done some research. What do you got for me?
Well, look, he did have an interview with Forbes. I'm speaking in English now.
Right.
With Forbes. And I think, look, this is probably the – look, I don't know. I'm not going to make judgment because I obviously never met Kanye and I don't live in the US, so I'm no political expert by any stretch of the imagination. But let me just tell you a little bit about his policy.
Oh, every politician has policy, so it's what they go in with.
Yeah, of course.
So, what's he got?
Well, he just came out and said he admitted he hadn't put together any kind of tax policy yet. Mm-hmm. He just said, I haven't done enough research on that yet, which is, I mean, he's just nominated, so, I mean, you can't have everything researched.
No, that's
fair enough.
He's got shit to do. He's got rap songs to rap.
I would have thought so. And then, well, he kind of did also come out and say he actually doesn't have any policies at all.
Oh, so it's not just tax. It's none.
It's nothing, but...
Maybe none's the best way in this.
No, mate. He's got it all sorted because...
What's he got?
Well, mate, he's pretty switched on. And I don't know if you know this, but he actually went to Nike and designed Yeezy and went to Louis Vuitton and did some design work with them.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically what he's suggested is that...
Fucking qualified to be president?
Yeah. It wasn't a policy, it was a design. So all he said is, look, we just need to be able to... His words, we need to innovate the design to be able to free the mind at this time. So...
I'll vote for it.
Mate, you don't need policies, just free your mind. And I think the US are in really, really good hands.
Yep. Well, so what happens? They've either got Trumpy or Kanye to vote for.
No. So he's going up Biden, against Trumpy. He's going against Trumpy. So he's been supporting him for a whole bunch of time, but he's basically just said, no, that's all done now. He's withdrawn his support for Trump.
Righto. And so who's the other fellow? There's old bloke too, isn't there?
I mean, I think they're still working it out. They're still in the final rounds. Joe Biden's still in the mix.
Yep, righto.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. So just look out for him. It's the birthday party.
That's what he's called?
Yeah, the birthday party. So,
well, speaking of birthdays, mate, I'm ready to move on from US politics. Someone else has had a birthday recently. How about this? The fast man.
Well.
Usain Bolt.
He has had a birthday, actually. You're right.
Well, it wasn't his birthday, but he was part of the action.
No, actually, he actually released the news on his birthday. That's where I thought you were going. You were one step ahead of yourself.
Hey, look at me go.
So it's true. Usain Bolt has had a daughter. Now, I love the trend that's going on at the moment with celebrities picking, let's just be honest, some fucking crap names.
What's he called the kid?
Well,
it's a little girl, beautiful little girl.
Beautiful little girl. Now, look, I think this one's fair enough.
Right.
He's gone Olympia.
Well, buddy, Kieran Perkins called his daughter Olympia and someone in Sydney. No, Olympia. That's not a new name for an Olympian to fucking. No, I'll tell you.
What I mean. What, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, there's obviously been some other shockers. I mean, can you pronounce Elon Musk's child that was recently born?
I didn't even know he had one.
Mate,
what's he got?
I can't even pronounce it. It's literally just symbols and numbers. It was absolutely bizarre.
Oh, like the love symbol, getting
it
in
was,
early.
It was just ridiculous. And of course, one I remember from years back was Gwyneth Paltrow, named a kid Apple.
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing, I suppose. It just seemed a bit bizarre. But we're putting it out to you guys, our listeners.
The punters will know.
If you know some good celebrity names, just whack it on our Facebook page so we can all have a bit of a chuckle.
Well, imagine calling your kid Bubblo Bill or something. Like, name it after, like, you name it after apple or ice cream or the Olympics. Imagine I call my kids, oh, you're a Paralympian. My kid will grow up and smash me, and rightly so.
Well, I thought you were going to go down another path then and say, what if you called him Redskin or something? They change the name later on and then your kid doesn't have a name.
But imagine that. Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm the love symbol. Not anymore.
Now, of course, apparently, Don, I believe this is highly likely that this could be our last podcast.
It is.
And I know it's only episode 5 and that's going to shatter a lot of people, but what's happened, mate?
Well, it's bloody lotto time. 80 million. Actually, my mother-in-law's a mullion. She's Scottish. She's an 80 mullion.
Yep. Sure thing. You got it.
Well, I'll tell you how I do it, right? I don't check my ticket. I am sitting on a shitload of cash. So you're
pretty confident it's in the bag.
Yeah. As long as I don't check it, when they say there's a winner and I don't check, giddy up, mate. I'm a good thing. Like, there was another time it was a good thing, right? I'm with my sister, Sarge, and we were at we were in Cobram. Yep. We'd killed a bit of time, and then we just bought a scratchy, right?
Yep.
And so we go to the car park, and I'm there, and I'm in the driver's seat. Sarge sitting passenger seat. Before we go, I thought, oh, scratchy. And I scratched it off, and I shit you not, 100,000.
Mm.
100,000.
So two out of, you need the three, right?
You need three.
Yep.
I scratch another one, 10,000.
Not quite.
Scratch another one, $5.
Yep.
Another one, 10,000.
Oh, two 10,000s now.
Scratch another one, 100,000.
Hang on, you're kidding me.
You've got
300,000. I've lost 100K.
My shit, right? Yep. And I'm going, you fucking beauty. And I'm waving the ticket at Sarge and she's going, give me your ticket. I go, bullshit, bitch, you'll spend it. So I'm straight into. So
you're spending the money already. This is in the bank.
Yeah. I am out of there, right? And Sarge is trying to make sense of shit and grab the ticket off me. And by this stage, I've opened the door and I'm standing up on the driver's side door, on the door screaming.
Don't watch the video of that.
Grabs, she grabs my pants, pulls me and says, let me have a look. And Sarge used to be the voice of reason in our family. Mm-hmm. I'll give her the ticket and I'm watching her in case she pisses off with the...
Last time you saw her.
She looked over and she goes, you fucking idiot.
What'd you do?
You haven't won.
But you got three.
Yeah, it was 10. My head was sort of going too... It was $10.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I didn't even win anything. I was filthy. I thought she was bullshitting me. So, mate, I after that, I stopped checking them because then I didn't have the heartbreak of losing.
Yeah, good point. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, Don.
I could have bought all the Kiwis in the world if I had them. Not that we buy Kiwis, that's illegal. But anyway,
I could have been. How's the theory been working for you so far? Because we did have a 50 million Oz Lotto draw that one person won, and got to tell you, it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me. So, well, I checked that ticket.
Right. Oh,
but so I've got this one. I'm good. I'm good for it.
All right, mate, I'm not checking it. It's in the bag.
I'm not checking it.
Excellent news. All right. Well, I'll be here solo next week. And unless, of course, just by some imaginary chance, Don doesn't actually win, we might actually have him back again.
Even if I do win, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come back and I'll just let you know, because I've been watching The Voice, right? Come back and I'll tell you.
Oh, hello, Delta.
Hey.
Don't.
Hey.
Do not.
Hey.
That's not on the run sheet. We are not.
Right. Don't. Check this shit out. Delta. Delta.
Beautiful Delta. Talented.
Yeah, maybe. But what's good is Kelly has brought some credibility to the show that Delta lost in the first bloody episode.
Hang on.
Delta lost Aussie. It because she picked the boot scooter.
And she can do whatever she likes.
No, he was like, how'd that turn out?
Well,
Well, not like good, my bloody lotto.
Not good
shit
for
out.
The bush scooter.
No, and piss off back to the bush. He was no good. And we love the bush,
mate. You come from the bush, mate.
Yeah, well, I know what should stay in there. And he should have stayed there. Anyway, the boot scooter got out. He got on the show. Delta gave him the nod, shouldn't I? Had to get rid of him. He's gone, right? Kelly, there's two of them at the battles.
Yeah, Kelly, just for the record, Kelly from the US here. You're siding here with someone from the US. You're not backing homegrown talent.
We love you because you're an Australian. Mate, I'm picking the best person for the job. I don't give a shit where you're from, what colour you are. Best person for the job. Kelly, this is what she did.
All right, tell me.
Battle, two people. They were shit.
Mm.
And she said, I'm not taking either of you. And they're going, what do you mean? She goes, I can't take you through. So she ditched them. Had the courage to say, not up to standard. I bloody love that. Anyone who just stands up and says, yeah. Hats off, Kelly. Loving your work. You gave credibility back to The Voice after Delta shot it.
Well, okay. There you go. So there you go. What's happening? Now, we're listening to the listeners.
I tell you. And
I probably could have phrased that a whole lot better.
No, but it's right. Like they speak, we listen. Yeah. After we speak and they listen. It's fair. It's giving. So this is what we've done. Is I need to go out to the listeners and I need your help. Why I need your help is because we need a couple of new stingers because we've got a new segment. One of the things that's overwhelming is the people are loving that you're adopted. Like not the piss take like we do to our kids when they're in trouble with our siblings, but the real deal, JT, your adopted story is being, it's bloody going off the charts. People are writing to us and some people are crying and stuff. And honestly, they got a fair reason because your story is bloody amazing. We've got to the point that it's fair and reasonable that you're adopted. You've grown up with a mum and dad. You went to an adoption agency to learn how to write a letter. You've written a letter. Your mum's invited you over literally the very next day. You've gone to a house and you've met your mum.
Yep.
What happened next?
We had something to eat.
Mate, you eat a lot.
Do like food. We had a great chat. To be honest, it was fantastic. She showed me, she had a whole lot of photos and just showed me, you know, a whole bunch of stuff around that extended family that I, at that point, had no idea about. So yeah, I learned that I had a whole bunch of auntie
and by this stage, just if you haven't heard the previous podcast, you're at about 25?
Oh, I was early 20s, yeah.
Early 20s, I think, okay, yep.
Somewhere in there, yeah. So I found out that I had a whole bunch of sort of aunties and uncles, which was awesome. Honestly, I had no idea. And so to suddenly find out that you've got other people that are around and got a bit of your blood in them, it was pretty exciting. So she shared all of that with me and answered every question I had. You know, I had about a zillion questions as you would, you know.
Right.
Why did you give me up? Obviously is the first question I goes most adopted people want to know. It's like, well, you know, why me? Like what happened and why didn't you hang on to me?
How did she answer that?
Well, she just looked, she was really honest and she just said, look, when you came out, I had a look and thought, that's bloody ugly. And I...
I've been telling you that for 20 years. I didn't realise your mum had said that.
I know, right? What are the chances? My mum was very young. So she was 15. You know, so very, very young. And look
and
back...
And so, you're about mid-40s now.
Oh, I was born in 72. So,
right.
You know, yeah, exactly. So...
Biggest stigma.
Yeah,
massive,
you know,
back then.
A, being pregnant wasn't cool back then. And not saying it's cool now, but it certainly, it was a shame on the family a lot of the times back then. So a lot of women that were pregnant back then were literally sent away. They'd go on a holiday to Queensland and come back 9 months later kind of thing. It was sort of the done thing. Yeah. And so for my mum, look, it was really tough, you know, they weren't exactly living, high life and really wealthy. So to bring a baby in with no support, I mean, there was no government support around in those days.
And, of course, at 15, she's not married. She's got not a partner to support it,
That's exactly right. So, you know, it was a really tough decision and one that Mum, Helen wasn't too wrapped on making. And I think, you know, she had a really tough life. I don't think she ever really recovered from having to give me up. She had a really rough life.
Right. And no doubt she would have shared that with you. Like we talk about what it was like for you, you know, having your expectations met and a whole lot of things answered for her. What was it like for her? Like, was it a wonderful experience to meet you, or was she just thinking?
Oh no, look, she absolutely loved it. And,
did she?
And you know, she sort of. The way the law works back then, and I honestly don't know if it's the same now, but essentially the parents had absolutely no rights. And so even if she wanted to find me, which she did, there was literally no avenue for her to take. And she was rapt that I actually made the effort to come and find her. So she was sort of, I've been waiting for this day forever kind of thing. So for her, she was absolutely, yeah, thrilled about it.
Right. And tell me this. So just having a bit of a laugh here because JT's cat, Oscar, who's running the bloody star of the show, has just rocked up and nearly pushed funny play on a little thing we got for later. So you meet mum and you go through the questions, where's dad? Have I got siblings? What unfolded then?
Yeah, well, look, she was really honest. And I think, as I said, she had a really rough life and you know, did it pretty tough. She didn't really sort of end up in any career. She'd lived on welfare a fair bit. And so, yeah, did it pretty tough. Never remarried, never had any other children. So it was me, really, was it, you know,
right.
for her. Now, of course, you know, the first thing she said to me, if you remember from the early episodes, is you look exactly like your father, dad. Right?
Exactly,
so,
yep.
Of course, you know, the question to me is, you know, who's dad?
Yeah, yeah.
And look, she, I think it was just such a traumatic experience for her that she had actually blocked a lot of things out.
Right.
And so she didn't have a lot of details about my dad.
Okay.
I knew his first name and she couldn't recall his surname.
Now,
wow. And they were in a you know, albeit at 15 or 16, a relationship, you know,
yeah.
But that's to the extent of, you know, how much trauma I think it was, and that was sort of blacked out. So I honestly, of course I wanted to know, but I also, there's a human element there that I could see that it was quite upsetting for her, and I just didn't push it.
Right.
You know, it ended up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in other segments, but it literally took me years, and I'll talk about how I went about it in another episode, but it actually took me years to actually track down my father.
So you've got to.
So I did actually finally get to meet my dad. Right. I sort of worked it out. I think I was sort of getting towards my late 20s by the time I'd sort of thought I had it all sorted after all my investigation work.
So you're still doing all this on your own. So, of course, the adoption agency gives you an envelope and you get some stats in there. That's what gets you in touch with your mum.
Yep.
Your mum answers a whole lot of new stuff, introduces you to a whole new, you know, world, her siblings, uncles and aunties, that type of stuff.
Yep.
But there's clearly still questions.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And you're on your own from that moment. So
right.
It's really up to you to do what you need to do. And my mum's family, who I know most of them listen to the show, were bloody awesome as well. You know, look, they could have just sort of said, mate, who are you, and piss off kind of thing. And
right.
and I certainly was made to feel really, really welcome. And, you know, I still keep in contact with most of them. And it's
how
only
awesome
distance
that
keeps us away probably,
because
a few of them live in Thailand and Queensland and whatever. But, you know, I actually met them. My what would have been my grandma actually passed away. And so everyone came for the funeral, of course, in the wake. So I remember at the time I was already talking to Auntie Linda. Hi, Auntie Linda, if you're listening, I'm sure she will be. And she said, well, why don't you come down and sort of, it's a good chance to meet everyone. So probably not the best circumstances.
Yeah, of course not.
But, you know, I generally got to meet everyone, which was pretty awesome.
And did you look around that, like, this is a bit crass, but did you look around and think, oh, good, there's no one here that I've got history with? Like, as in, you didn't sleep with anyone, or, you know, if you don't know anyone's related.
Where are you going with that?
Well, you never know, did you? Like, you didn't even know.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, obviously, I had no relationship with, no one was on my path or radar or whatever you want to call it. No, not from a relationship, just any point of view. Like,
yeah,
we
right.
just weren't in that network, so to speak.
A completely different circle.
Yeah, and most of them didn't live sort of local either. Certainly my mum did, but you know, the closest was probably Auntie Linda, who lived, you know, sort of down Frankston, Southway, and I had Uncle Evan, who lived up in Mildura. So
right.
Yeah, they're probably the closest initially. And so that's sort of how
there
it
you
all
go.
Rolled.
Yeah. Mate, I'll tell you what, this is why we've given it its own little segment. It is the Your Adopted segment.
Gotta come up with a better name, I reckon. But,
people
and
help
a stinger.
Me. I've bloody come up with the You're Adopted. So I need your help. Otherwise JT is stuck with hearing that every bloody week.
Come on, give
and
us
we
a name.
We give need a stinger. We don't like we'll have some fun with it, but we're gonna keep digging. For as long as we're doing this podcast, we're going to get more and more and more out of JT and his story.
That we are. Now, of course, one of the segments that we love is we need a bit of comedy after when we go pretty deep. So we're going to get into our Media Watch segment. Spot, driving. Now, Media Watch, of course, is when we bring you a funny clip that we've seen somewhere around the world. And, this week we're going to bring you something from Network 10.
And doesn't have to be late. Doesn't have to be recent.
No, it's not. Although, ironically, it is from the late night news, but not late as in timeline. No, I don't
what do you got for us, Jade?
It's all too hard to explain. Well, look, I'm just going to probably let this one talk for itself. And, well, yeah, hopefully you get a laugh.
Skipper Andrew Strauss arrived in London proudly showing off the little urn. They'll spend 4 days at home before flying out for the World Cup. And, Belinda, I just can't understand how something so small can be so impressive.
Well, Mark, you would know about that. Thank you very much.
And, Belinda, I just can't understand how something so small can be so impressive.
Mark, you would know about that.
Boom. Oh, Belinda Heggan and Mark Aston. That went global around the world.
And why shouldn't it? Like, that is gold. Like, what a quick comeback.
I was going to say, thinking
that's
on your feet, isn't
gold,
it? Gold,
mate.
It was pretty awesome.
I've been thinking on my foot for a long time, but she's got me covered. That's awesome.
Yep.
Now, mate, what do we got in terms of our segments? We're mixing this up a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've obviously given the adoption story a life of its own now with its own segment. And, I thought we kind of need to do the same with you, Donnie, because it is
I'm not adopted, both of
us. So can you tell us about when you first found out that you were adopted, Donnie?
Mate, I think it was the first fight I had with Brav, and he said, get fucked, you're adopted. I go, what's adopted? No, I'm not really adopted. I've got four siblings, and I'm one of five. And I think that's why I've...
This is the... funny thing, Don, because late breaking news.
They've told you.
I got a call from one of your apparent sisters who said, no, this is bullshit. He's not one of us.
Hey, that's because we've been telling her she's adopted for years. No, I think the thing, if I'm going to be fortunate enough to get a stinger at some point, now I'm really hoping humans out there, you'll help us with this. And name my segment. It's bloody up to JT at the moment.
We do want to give it a name because, look, Don obviously speaks for a living and he's got heaps of bloody awesome stories, and we want to start sharing some of those with you. And we're going to go with one today that I think is just probably hits a chord, particularly for those Victorians. Apologies, I know it's a national show, but you know, everyone's sort of feeling a bit down, I think, with the news of lockdown again, and a bit frustrated. And we wanted to talk and give people a bit of a giddy up on resilience. And I know it's one of the things that you talk about a lot, Don. And for me, one of the things that, you know, I really admire about you is that you've done Kokoda. And not just once, you've done it twice, and obviously mentally deranged because you're thinking about doing it a third time.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, and I know you've invited me both times and I've said no, and I've
pretty much
said...
It's not all you said when I invited you, by the way.
I pretty much said, Don, I don't think I'll make it. And I feel like Don's got one leg and he can do it.
I've
got everything.
Going. Soft cough, JT.
Yeah, I know. It is a bit soft. But, mate, it is pretty amazing that you've actually done it. I know it was pretty hard yakka for you, so I'd love to share that story with the listeners.
Yeah, I think, and that's why it's so timely too with you know, lockdown and people dealing, whether it's lockdown or not, you know, businesses that are really struggling, but the reality around resilience, and I don't think there's a better story in Australia's history than the resilience of the guys that actually fought on the Kokoda campaign. And why I love it is because they were clearly underdogs. And so when I had the opportunity, I had a corporate organisation, good mate, now Mick and Tim and the boys and Nick, they got in touch and said, Don, we'd like you to lead our team for Kokoda. Are you interested? And I said, yep, bloody oath. Oh, I say yes to most things and then think about it later. The truth is I didn't know stuff all about the Kokoda campaign. I educated myself. I listened to some books and through audio books and I learnt that we have, our nation is built on people that have had a crack against the odds. And, you know, when you start hearing the stories about the people in the terrain, it's about 96 Ks, it's bloody up and it's down and it's mud and it's every, like I literally wore out a leg, I kid you not, to do Kokoda. We created a leg for that, Professor Leg. We got something that we thought would do the hills and the steps and all that sort of stuff really well. And when I did it, halfway through the first time, so when I got halfway, I actually was waking up at 4:30.
When you say halfway through, just obviously...
So we're about 45 Ks.
How many days does it take?
It's about eight, what have we got? 8 days, 7 nights.
Right, so it's 3 or 4 days in.
Three or four days in, and then I'm waking up at 4:30 to take painkillers because my leg got infected. And, of course, like this is a jungle, so it's not...
Your amputated leg got infected.
My stump. And it's not like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Like this is a real living jungle. There is nobody Chemist Warehouse on the corner.
Yep.
You can't...
Well, at the moment.
Not
yet. Expanding quickly.
But you just...
And again, we're available for sponsorship.
We are indeed Chemist Warehouse. But you just can't get that sort of... You can't get anything. Like seriously, it's bloody... There's nothing out there.
Yep.
And... So you take all your own supplies and you've got to get scripts for stuff you don't even know if you're going to use. So you literally go well prepared. And Kokoda Spirit, Wayne, like they've got it down pat.
Yep.
And I tell you the thing that I really loved and what I connect with resilience around this is because every single day you would look and you would see these mountains, you go, there's not a hope in hell I'm going to be able to get to the top of that mountain. And then the real key is, and the advice we get is, just focus on your next step. Just take one step and then another step. And then focus on your next step. And so you're not looking at the mountain. You literally break it down into tiny little bite-sized bits. And and then it's actually attainable. Like you get through it. Like you're still getting belted. So waking up and taking these painkillers so I could put my leg on and keep going. And the reason, I mean, I had a choice to say, oh, shit, I'm screwed and get heli-vacked out of there, medivacked out. And but, you know, the guys that actually fought in the campaign, like they didn't have that choice. Like if it wasn't for them, our country would be all speaking Japanese. As simple as that. And so they fought off the Japs during this massive campaign. And what they would do is whatever it took to survive. And that's what I love about this. So when we're going through tough times, I'm going, hang on a minute. I'm going to get to the end of this. I'm going to have a meal tonight. I'm going to be able to get home. I'm going to stay in a nice hotel. All these, just being able to put it in perspective and go, how tough is it? The guys during the campaign found it easier or more essential to cut the crutch out of their pants because they had like literally diarrhea. Like they had, you know, problems that 2 meters away, there'll be a sniper or a Jap that they couldn't see in the scrub that could take their life in a heartbeat. So, you know, they had real resilience and they needed that. And so when I think about shit, things are tough, I think, well, how tough is it? So for me, I think all of us can build our resilience, and the way we build it is just by taking one step at a time and making sure we remind ourselves the sun's going to come up tomorrow, get up and go again. It doesn't matter if you get knocked over, but you just got to get back up again.
Yeah. And just on the Kokoda experience on your journey, as you said, day 3-4, you infection sets in, you've luckily got the medication, probably get that under control, but it would have been bloody painful.
Oh, mate, I don't know that I'd experienced that pain for a long time in my life. I've had a couple of days a couple of times in my life where I've experienced some really, really ordinary pain. And I know this is a family show, even where we put a bit of language in here, but, you know, I don't want to gross people out with some of the things that the pain that I've felt in my life, and it's all been physical. But I must admit, the second time around, so the time I did it, the next time I did it with the good family friends, with Maka, with Boof, and my couple of my two eldest daughters and my cousin Romper and his wife, it was bloody amazing because, you know, when we were there and I was there with Shaky and we're looking at this campaign, I'm thinking to myself, at what day am I going to need to get up and take these painkillers to be able to get through? I didn't have those same problems. So that's what I absolutely love about life is that if we can get through something once, there's a fair chance that we're going to be, next time we're faced with it, we're better prepared. And stuff me, if this isn't us being better prepared, COVID take two for Victoria, then we've got experience. This is why we should be buoyed about this. We should be up and about going, we can do this. Yep. And now we know how to do it.
Mate, love that story, and I'm looking forward to hearing many, many more stories from you in future episodes. All right, Donnie.
One of the listeners' favourite segments. They love it. The
Dad Joke of the Week.
Here we go, mate. Oh, no, this will be good. They're always good, JT.
You know, I go to
extremes
to get the best jokes for our audience, Don. You know that.
Around the world you go.
Literally around the world. All right, here we go. First one for you, Don. I've got two today.
What do you got?
One of the things I hate in the world is hunting, I've got to say.
You don't like hunting?
Mate, I cannot. No.
Okay. So you're not from the bush?
On so many levels, mate. You and I are very different on that. On that path. Yep.
Righto.
But it's a hunting joke and I'm going with it.
Right, do it.
So two hunters are out in the woods and one of them collapses. Now he's not breathing. His eyes are glazed. So the other guy's going, oh, shit, this isn't looking good. Whips out his mobile, calls, you know, 000. Gets on to the operator and goes, oh, I think my friend's dead. I was going, what can I do? And, of course, the crew on 000 were down at have been lucky enough to actually spend some time there. Yeah, they're awesome guys. So the operator says, look, calm down. First we've got to make sure that he's dead. So there's a bit of a silence and then and the guy gets back on the phone and says, yep, he's dead. Now what?
I'm probably laughing too hard at that.
Yeah, let's go, Donny. Come on.
I'm going to go camping with you. No, I like that.
You like that one?
I think that's piss funny.
Yeah.
But JT, I always say it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the listeners think.
Mate, it is true.
They'll let us know. Listeners are good at letting us know what they think.
They do let us know what they think. All right. Joke number two. Now, in surgery for a heart attack. Hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a middle-aged woman and she has a vision of God by her bedside. And she says to God, "Will I die?" And God just comes down his big booming voice and says, "No." Assuming it's a guy and speaks like that. So he's, "You have 30 more years to live."
Oh, giddy up.
Yeah. So she's thinking, well, I have 30 years to look forward to. So she decides to make the most of it, Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
So she goes, "Look, since I'm in the hospital, might get the breast done."
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, we're going. Might as well bit of liposuction. Yeah, get a bit of fat out of here and maybe as well have a tummy tuck and, oh, yeah. Put some long hair, get a hair transplant, may as well fatten up the lips because that's sort of in at the moment.
All right.
Mate, she looks bloody fantastic. Mate, she's awesome. So the day she gets discharged, she exits the hospital. She's, you know, got a bit of swagger and she goes across the street and gets hit by an ambulance and killed.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
So up in heaven, she gets to see God and she's like, you said I had 30 more years to live. And God said, well, that is true. She said, so what bloody happened? And God just shrugged his shoulder and said, well, I didn't bloody recognise you.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
good.
I like the first one better.
Mate, it's bloody tough
ground. I get it.
Tough ground. Yeah. I thought that was all right.
I didn't realise God's voice was so deep.
No, I know.
But
I love doing
that. What's our next segment, JT?
Oh, another segment. Well, I have to cue that up, Donnie.
Have you got a sting?
Mate, I am all over it. Oh, life hack of the week, Donnie. Now, this has taken on a bit of a different – it's taken on a slant of its own thanks to the feedback from the listeners. And what it's going to be now is just some short, sharp tips that people can use to make their life a little bit better.
Isn't that a life hack?
Yeah, but I think when we first started, we were thinking more, you know
– inspiration, how to live
that,
your life.
That kind of life stuff. Shit, so that's
you don't come
out.
To us for inspiration. Yeah, see,
we realise we're shit at that, so we're going with some handy life hacks.
Half of our life hacks belong to the people. That's how we got them.
Now, Donnie, you have done a huge amount of research this week, and I've done zero. So this is all you, mate.
Right, one of my, I remember I said to you before I did Kokoda. Well, you told me I did Kokoda. And Mick, I told you, Mick Duff, he had a cracker of a life hack and I liked it. He said, just keep a little post-it note and anytime some sort of milestone-y sort of thing happens throughout the year, write it down, put it in the container and then move on. And then at New Year's Eve, open up the container and flick through all the books and have a look at how your year was. And I'll tell you what, I did it last year for the first time. I bloody loved it. Because we forget shit what happened in February. Most people, unless they've been affected by the bushfires, will have probably forgot because other things overwhelm us. So good on you, Mick. Bloody love that one.
Nice work.
Thanks like for it. That. Here we go. Books. Make sure you get yourself a good book. And my book choice for this week is Pocket Positives. Here it is. I'm holding this up to the camera. So it's just called Pocket Positives. And what I love is it's literally just filled with little quotes. And I like to get one of those quotes and just read it. So I've got
give us one, Donnie. Come on. Hang on.
Life is not the way it's supposed to be. I just jumped in early. Sorry, I couldn't.
Mate, you peaked early again, and that's for another segment as well.
Oh, shit. Right, okay. Life's not the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it is. The way we cope with it is what makes the difference. And that's a ripping quote. It just helps us. One more final one, because I know you're a very clean freak, JT, is when you're doing your washing, right, wash your clothes, and then before you hang it up on the line, just go whoosh, and give it a big crack, like shake it, and it'll get all the wrinkles out while it's wet. You hang it up, fold it up while it's dry. I shit you not, you'll never iron again. You just won't, because you won't have any creases that you will not iron again.
So as long as you give it a big shake, I've got no special effect for that.
No.
And I put it out on the line.
Yep.
Happy days.
And you've got to fold it when you take it off. So don't store it in the basket and crap. Fold it when you take it off. Bang. Never need to iron again. And if that doesn't work, call Chubb. It's her tip. So, but, and I really, I like that one. Since you're doing, it's winter, it's cold, we're not hanging shit on the line too much. When you put stuff on your little clothes horse inside, use pegs. So don't hang your clothes over the clothes horse, especially your undies, because they take up too much room, right? So just use a peg and they'll just take up a tiny little bit of room. Too many life hacks, moving on. What else we got?
Wow, all right. We have other stuff.
Oh, I like this one.
Heroes and Zeros. We do like this segment. It gives us a chance to talk about the people that are contributing to society in a positive way and those that, again, letting the team down.
The dickheads.
Now, this week, Donnie, we've got a couple of heroes.
A couple?
Well, actually, we've got more than a couple.
Good work.
I wanted to give a shout-out to a series. Look, sometimes you've just got to be really innovative and come up with new concepts that people are ready for. Well, the ABC, Donnie, they're my heroes.
Right.
They've come up with a concept. Now, I don't want to be the one to say it sounds remarkably like our Celebrity Rewind section. However, it's awfully like our Celebrity Rewind section, Donnie.
What have they done?
Well, they're basically going out to celebrities and saying, write yourself a letter to your 14-year-old self.
Really?
That's pretty bloody similar to our segment, I thought.
It's stole our content.
I think they bloody have. But look, the ABC are obviously flushed with a huge amount of resources and we aren't. And
they would have got huge big-name celebrities. Who'd they get?
They've got massive celebrities. So they went with Kelly Cartwright.
Hello, old news. We had Kelly 5 weeks ago.
Episode one, mate.
Hello, ABC. No, they're heroes, so well done. We love it. And most of the people who watch ABC probably don't watch or listen to our podcast, so they're thinking it's new. You got a clip?
Look, mate, I have, and in all seriousness, I bloody love it. It is absolutely fantastic, and it is. Kelly's was awesome, and I'm going to play a little bit of Kelly's for you now. It's obviously to watch the whole thing, you need to go to ABC, and what's it called?
Yes, it's called If I Only Knew. That's what their segment's called. So
here's a little clip from Kelly.
Your friends and family will always be there, so try not to give your parents too much grief, and one day you will meet other people just like you and know just how you feel. I learned to walk again. You will too. I even learned to run and jump, and I set world records. I won Paralympic gold. I found a partner and I'm a mum. My life is full. So just remember, at that moment in November 2004, when you think that your life is over, it's actually just beginning.
Bloody love it.
I'm a bit pissed off at Kel gave the ABC all the good stuff.
Yeah, so that was better than the clip she gave us.
We'll just rip theirs off.
Don't you manage her?
I'll have to have a word to her. She's bloody picked up a game.
I want to have a word to you.
We helped her lift her game, so that's all right.
There
that's
we go. Ours was
Thanks,
a practice
Kel.
Run. All right,
ours was good too.
Now, the other one that I love, and I've had the luxury of meeting Hamish one day, mate, top bloke.
Hamish Blake?
Hamish
Blake,
mate.
Funny man.
Oh, mate, he's incredibly funny. And look, this is a really short story, but I actually met him with a mate of mine, Daniel, and we managed to somehow get ourselves into the birdcage.
On
Melbourne Cup Day. It was a good get, I've
got
to tell you.
That's a good get. Well done. We'll talk about gets in other shows because I've got a couple of good ones too, but that's bloody impressive.
You would have some awesome ones, given your background. But, mate, we were pretty happy. Anyway, we may have had the odd drink or 300.
Yeah, well, that happens in the bird's cage. There's actually horse racing that goes on there too.
Jesus,
allegedly.
And of course, we were on the juice, and the day was actually wrapping up, and we were sort of starting to walk home, and we just saw Hamish just standing there. It looked like he was about to walk home, shit faced as well. And look, Daniel's not shy in coming up to me. He goes, mate, we've got to go and say good day to Hamish. So of course, we went up, and
celebrities love it,
mate. You know what though? Like, it was probably before they were really super big.
Yeah, right.
And it was bloody awesome. We actually, having a bit of a chat, got a photo and all that sort of stuff. It was pretty awesome. So that's my experience with Hamish, and we always had a soft spot for him. And now, of course, with Lego Masters, and my son Lucas bloody loves that show, as do a lot of people.
Yes.
It's just good family fun, right?
So isn't it funny how you like Hamish because he didn't brush you off or give you the...
He gave me the time of day.
Hey, don't we love people that give us the time of day?
He actually said, let's get a... He actually asked us for the pick, which...
We love that.
Mate,
that
awesome.
Is top bloke.
Awesome guy.
Well played.
Anyway, his clip, mate, have a listen to it.
Have you got it?
I've got a little bit of a taste. It actually goes a lot longer than Kelly's, I think.
Right.
But, mate, absolutely awesome. And in Hamish style, pretty funny. But here's a segment, just a little clip of Hamish's message to his 14-year-old self.
So... I know that right now, at 14, you're scared of all the standard stuff, looking silly, failing, not fitting in. But I'm here to tell you that you've got it all the wrong way, my friend. Looking silly is where all the fun is. Failing is where all the fun of life is. And not fitting in is where all the fun of life is, ultimately. I won't spoil it for you, but you end up in a job where basically, professionally, you look silly all the time and you have a lot of fun doing it. So that's it from me, Haim. I hope that... Also, buy Google shares early and don't book flights for the first half of 2020. I think that's it. I think that's all the stuff I wanted to tell you. I hope I made it in under the time. Good luck, champ.
Man, I love it. Seriously, it's definitely worth a listen. So if you do have a few spare minutes, make sure you check it out.
The ABC, If I Only Knew. That's awesome rap for our heroes. Now, what do we got for zeros, JT?
Well, I've got one other hero.
Oh, that's right. You said you had two. It wasn't Kelly and Hamish. You've got another one.
I just wanted to give a shout out.
Three, JT.
We're having a great run in 2020, but turns out this week my dad had a bit of an incident at home and we need an ambulance. And okay.
Is he all right?
Mate, he'll be all right. He's hopefully home very soon. So, okay, but mate, the ladies that came out, Sarah and Jess, bloody awesome.
They were the paramedics?
Paramedics. And so just to give a shout out to the paramedics, they are honestly just the soul of the earth people. And, you know, they meet people at their worst and in their highest stress and in pain and all this sort of stuff. And they go out of their way to make sure that, you know, not only the medically they fix them, but just mentally, you know, they just make sure they're okay and they'll crack a joke with them and bloody awesome people. So shout out to all the paramedics that are out there, and of course to all the emergency services, because we absolutely respect and need everything that you do and appreciate it, and it's not said often enough. So
correct. And I tell you what, JT, on that, after COVID's finished, make sure, I think we should start a campaign, hug a paramedic.
Yeah, no, that's just gonna nope. Now, of course, with every silver lining and
cuddle a cop, but anyway,
also nope. Okay. So that's our heroes. Now, of course, the opposite of heroes is zeros.
Zeros.
I'm very clever like that. So who are we having a crack at this week, Donnie?
Well, my zero this week, the zero that's overwhelming for me is Channel 9.
Channel 9?
Yeah, well, we said we're not going to get into politics, but...
We did.
And we got into
politics. I feel like you're about to.
But let's... here we go. Let me just play a little clip. I've been doing a bit of, like, your fancy work, Chase. I'll put you out of a job one day. Have a listen to this, yeah?
It's becoming so stupidly hard and dangerous to have a debate about anything these days, anything the left wants shut down at any rate. Today, Channel 9 banned One Nation leader Pauline Hanson from appearing again on the Today Show after she said this about some of the people being locked down in the nine Melbourne Housing Commission towers.
Let's listen to it.
What'd she say?
The fact is that a lot of them are drug addicts as well. They've actually met... medication, they're getting their medication, they're alcoholics, so they're being looked after that way. A lot of these people are from non-English speaking backgrounds, probably English is their second language, who haven't adhered to the rules of social distancing. They all use a lot of the same laundry, so...
A lot of the same laundry, Jesus.
Well, there it is. And the reason I'm having a crack at Channel 9, honestly, Pauline Hanson is a divisive character. They didn't get her on there thinking that she was going to come on there and all of a sudden not have an opinion and not share it.
They wanted a headline?
They wanted a headline. They bloody got one. And today, or the other day when she created that headline, it got a bit awkward for them. And so they come out in this fashion that is so bloody fashionable today that you cannot have an opinion unless it's the exact same as everybody else's. I call bullshit on that. I think, I didn't even really buy into what Pauline said, because that's not my issue here. The issue is we should encourage conversation and we should encourage people to call people like Pauline Hanson out if they're not happy with that. But we should never silence people's opinion, because we miss out on the debate. We miss out on learning and going, okay, I don't think there's such a thing as a bad role model. I think there's a lot of people that do shit things and we can learn from them and go, there's a shit role model, and by default they're good because they teach us what not to do. Okay, so whether or not we agree or disagree, but I disagree with Channel 9 pissing Pauline off because of that reason, because she was divisive.
Don has spoken.
There we go. That's my zero, mate.
Well, I like how we didn't cover politics there. That's good. awesome. Going really well. Now, of course, we always have our celebrity on. Who have we got for us this week, Donnie?
And, this week is
you can't actually tell. No, we've got to build up suspense. Right, man, I haven't played the stinger.
Well, geez, have you got it? Excellent. And while you were playing that, I was busily getting all my notes out.
Not quick enough. I need a longer stinger. I want to hear it again.
Yes, go.
Well, hey, who have we got?
Well, this week's is none other than Racetrack Ralphie. Now, I tell you what, this bloke here, I actually don't typically buy into people's stats and what they've done. What I do is I go, I like that bloke, he was good to me. I met Ralphie many, many years ago. I was speaking at the Melbourne Footy Club Coterie Lunch. That's where the guys with the big bucks come together. They support the club and they have a day and they get a guest speaker like me in and we have a bit of fun. And I think there was a few Melbourne supporters that were a bit, let's say, reserved. And so then when I got my leg off and popped it up on the bench and we were having a joke and piss taking, and all of a sudden we've lightened the mood in there big time. Ralphie and I just clicked, and we had a fair bit to do with each other over the years, and went on his radio program. Ralphie actually was the original producer for the Channel 9's footy show. He was there for,
right,
I think he was there for about 9 years. So he's certainly no dumbass when it comes to media and the operations of media, and is very opinionated, and I like that about him. So he was kind enough to take my call and to send in this.
G'day, this is Ralphie Horowitz, occasionally known as Racetrack Ralphie, and Donnie has asked me to pick a moment where I'd probably do it differently a second time. Hopefully that's the theme. It's probably an overview. You know, what do you learn from the past? And that would be to use the Richard Branson phrase, protect yourself on the downside. So it's good to follow your dreams, but if things go to shit, what can you do as a plan B? And I didn't finish my schooling, so that was always a negative for me. So if things went wrong, particularly in a narrow field like the sporting media that I was in for so long, the plan B was always hard to find. So I would say protect yourself on the downside, have some education, have a different job to be available to go to, and then go as hard as you possibly can. Hopefully that's what it's meant to be, Don.
Mate, it is. That's what we were aiming for, is something to think about, and I like it. I think that's what I love about this segment, JT, is it gives our listeners a chance, and us a chance, to listen and peep in on somebody else's advice that they would give themselves or consider important in their life. And we can all learn from other people. So protect yourself on the downside.
That's a bloody great concept for a show on ABC, I would have thought.
That might take off if I only knew.
There's awesome advice. Thanks, Ralphie. And you got a degree, Donnie?
No, mate, I'm a bit with Ralphie. Sort of dropped out. I finished year 12.
There you go.
I was pretty happy with that. So, we've got it. What about you, mate?
No, I'm the same. Never got a degree. Did a couple of units studying a degree, but never really did much with it. And to be honest, it's something I've always, I don't know, really struggled with, because, you know, I've obviously, you know, had a reasonably okay career and, you know, landed in some senior roles, and you're obviously surrounded by people that have degrees in management and marketing and MBAs and all this sort of stuff. So you often just feel a bit sort of inferior that you don't have that piece of paper behind you. It's a weird feeling.
It's a weird one. I actually asked an old manager of mine at Australia Post at one time. I said to him, mate, how do you reckon I'm tracking? Where do you reckon I can get to? He goes, oh, well, without a degree, you're probably not going to get, you know, any further. I go, why is that? He goes, well, a degree doesn't really matter what you do it in, but it just shows you can stick to something. I said, really? So 3 Paralympic Games, that fucking no indicator at all, is it? And I always thought, well, if that's your degree, roll it up and smoke it, mate. So I figure there's a lot of people that have nailed life who haven't got the degree. So if you haven't got one, don't bloody burn the bridge. It's not all over, mate. Just wake up, sun comes up tomorrow, reload and go again.
Sure does. But Emily, if you're listening, don't even think about it.
Now, that is a daughter of yours. Now, mate, did Ralphie leave us a question?
Mate, he did leave us a question.
Because I asked him, I said, mate, what do you got for us?
So my question for you, Don and JT, is a lot of statues being in the news now. You know, we have to pull them all down, apparently, from what happened years ago. Well, let's make it a positive. What statue of who should go up? I'll give you one. MCG, Kieran McCann. A magnificent marathon win in 2006. So there's my starting point. Yes. Who do you think should have a statue that currently hasn't got one in the world of sport in Melbourne?
Geez, I tell you what, you can see why Ralphie's nailed it in the world of bloody sports media and stuff, hasn't he? Bloody great question. Kieran McCann, I was there in the MCG that day. I was commentating. I was with the host broadcaster, TWI, and when Kieran came in and she led into the stadium and the roar was bloody, that MCG roar, and then got overtaken, and then to fight back and win, it was, mate, that one was a game changer. I love that moment. That was awesome.
Awesome moment of Australian sport.
Absolutely. Let's get a statue for Kieran. And, of course, we lost her a few years later with breast cancer, which was bloody terrible. So a huge monument to the sport, lost too soon.
Great idea for a statue. Good work, Ralphie.
Who else you got, mate? Oh,
You go first.
Well, I've been thinking, a given for me. Now, some of her best work wasn't done in Melbourne.
That's okay.
But I would do Catherine Freeman.
Come on. Don't steal my bloody. That's it.
Oh, here we go. I come up with an Australian icon and you want to steal it. Freeman's mine,
convenient.
Mate.
Convenient.
Now, I love Cathy. I tell you what, I've got a story about Cathy very quickly.
Mate, fellow Aussie Post. We used to look after Aussie Post as well. Had luxury. luxury, whatever. I'm better once too.
Awesome. All those years ago. So yep. I used to train. Kathy and I went through the similar era, right? So we both competed in Sydney, both in Atlanta. Kathy somehow or another did a bit better than I did, won Olympic gold.
I'm only a little bit.
No, a lot. That's bloody awesome. However, I remember she used to call my best mate Timmy and I, she used to call us Laurel and Hardy because we were always stuffing around at the track and stuff. Anyway, I went up to her and I said, Kathy, we've got a fundraising event. We need to raise a bit of coin to go overseas. You know, world champs, you had to raise your own cash. Mm. And she said, and so what my idea was to get one of her shoes. I said, Kathy, do you mind if I get one of your old shoes you're not using anymore? Can you sign it and we'll auction it off for the night?
Great idea.
And she said, what's this for, Don? And I told her what it was for. And she goes, listen, how about I just pay for the trip for you? And then when you're in a position, you can just pay me back. And I just thought, holy shit. You know, that just took her from sporting legend to icon. In, you know, like just quality human of the highest regard. So for me, Freeman, every day of the week, I love her. Just and compete under pressure. Nobody did it better. So 2000 belonged to her.
That, when she won that, I mean, literally.
How good was
never it? Been any more pressure on an athlete, though, because everyone thought it? She was a certainty. And of course, there is no certainty in sport.
Oh, that's right.
And so she would have been feeling an enormous amount of pressure going into
Mary Jo Perez in the lead up to it. Yep. Mate, there was a lot of bloody big stories, scandals, everything. That was huge, mate. Freeman for me.
Yep. Who you got? Good call. And I'd second that for Freeman. Look! I'm going to go outside of the sporting one. I know, sorry, Ralphie, because Don stole mine.
I don't know if he said sporting. No, I mean, Ralphie said statue.
He did right at the end. I just picked up on that, unfortunately. Okay.
Well played, Ralphie. I got it right.
So, you stole it. And one of the ones, and we actually mentioned him earlier, Steve Irwin, mate.
Oh.
Honestly, I'm just a legend of a bloke, and you know, you hear so many amazing stories about Steve Irwin and just that larrikin sort of guy he was. And but what I love about Steve more than anything, and being a larrikin and a funny bastard and all that sort of stuff, is just what he did for animal conservation. And as everyone who knows me knows, I love animals and do anything for them.
A lot.
Just sort of what he has done and the legacy he's left behind and the awesome bloody family that he's got with his awesome kids and Terry. And
Indy and Bob.
They've really sort of kept that legacy going. Yeah. And, you know, I just love, to be honest, one of the things that's always found a bit weird is, you know, you get all these legends, they're all sporting legends, and normally they're around the MCG or the SCG and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, you know what, bloody tourism's such a big bloody thing about it. Wouldn't it be awesome to come out of the airport and just go down like a boulevard or something with Australian icons and see a Kathy Freeman and see a Steve Irwin.
The heroes that have contributed to our fabric of our great country.
It's going to be bloody awesome. It would be. If you're listening, anyone that runs airports or Tourism Australia or something, get on it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, that could be a winner. Now, mate, we've got a lot of things that we've got through in this podcast. It's been fantastic. One of the episodes or segments that I really like is the opportunity to hear what our listeners got to say. And JT, we've had a fair bit of feedback this week. One of them from Shags. Shag wrote in and said, Don, JT, tell us about TikTok. What do you reckon? Mate, you're supposed to be quicker than that. You're the man on the button.
Man, I can't talk unless I play the stinger.
Right.
TikTok, hey. Whoa, big controversy at the moment. For those who haven't heard, two things. One, what the hell is TikTok?
Yep. Clock.
If you're anyone who's over about the age of 20, you're probably going, what the hell is this TikTok thing? It is huge. You've probably heard of Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all these sort of things.
Bloody dances.
Got the moves?
She's got them all.
Well, TikTok is literally the next biggest thing. It is the biggest thing already. It's only launched in about 2018. It's already about 800 million users already. It's huge. And essentially, it's just a video sharing platform. Short clips, you can funny dance moves, pranks, you bloody name it, it's on there.
Yep.
When it first started, it was mostly for little kids sort of content. And now it's just full mainstream. So it's literally got everything on it. Now, the controversy that came up during the week was that India have banned it.
Why?
Well, you know, it's probably not for what you think. It's they've actually just gone out and banned that and about 28 other applications that are all Chinese owned.
Oh, are they pissed off with China because of the virus?
No, it's all about security. And there are some concerns that user data potentially will end up back in the hands of the Chinese government. And so as a result, India have banned TikTok and some other applications as well.
India worry about China learning the dance moves?
Not so much the dance moves, mate. It's actually personal data. So obviously with a lot of apps, they're tracking what you're doing and some of them track more than others, of course. So it might be what other content you're looking at. It might be personal information in there.
So they're using the app to get into your phone.
Yeah, so they can suck a whole bunch of other data out of there. So there is some talk now, and the article came out on news.com and it's obviously gone right around the country now, is to say, you know, should we be banning it in Australia? Should you you delete it off your phone. And that was actually the news article, delete TikTok now.
Right.
Because you're putting yourself at risk.
But isn't that our parents' job to do that?
Well, look, that's from a parent's perspective in terms of what your kids are doing and looking at. And there are certainly some risks with TikTok, the privacy and restrictions that you would normally get, even on things like Facebook, even though a lot of people question, at least there is opportunities to block a lot of content and choose what you want to share. Whereas TikTok is still, it's only been around a couple of years. So they've got a long way to go, I think, in terms of tightening up a lot of that stuff.
Right.
So the concern really is just, whether the Chinese government are actually sort of getting access to user data, et cetera. Now for us, the general manager of TikTok in Australia has come out and tried to hose that down. And he pretty much just says that, no, we don't share any information at all with any government, including the Chinese government. But what did also come out of it was all our data of a TikTok Australian users is actually stored in Singapore, which is not that uncommon. It's Asia-Pac, sort of a big hub, obviously, in Singapore. So everything is kept there. But there are a few other sort of concerns that that came out. And the reality is they are sort of saying that it is accessible to employees potentially of TikTok, and they are working towards, or their goal, quote, our goal is to minimize data access across regions. So, for example, employees in other parts of APAC region, including China, would have very minimal access to user data. And I think the key thing out of that phrase is our goal is to, in other words, we aren't at the moment. Again, look, as with all things social media, buyer beware.
It is.
And you've got to be really careful about anything you put on the internet and do on your phone.
Yeah, and people have feedback about what you put on there too, which we'll get to that, JT, but I think it's probably a heads up. So in one word for the parents out there listening, I'm not a scaremonger and going to go delete it. It's a crisis. I will take a sit down and have a conversation with my kids and say, mate, this is what you've got to be careful for. People can inbox you, that sort of thing. If they do, bring it to me. But in one word for parents that are relying on your IT guru advice, should they delete TikTok tonight?
It's really hard to answer in one word.
No, it's bloody yes or no.
No, it's really hard. But the advice that I really would give to people is anything you've got on your phone, just be prepared that someone else is going to see it. It's as simple as that. Don't put anything that is hot. Don's quickly deleting a whole lot of stuff.
A shitload of
stuff. The reality is anything that is in the cloud and anything that's stored and saved and all that sort of stuff in the cloud has the potential to be hacked at some point in time. And whether it's TikTok,
Facebook,
your Twitter account got hacked. Anything you do is a risk. And TikTok, to be honest, is yes, it's a little bit juvenile in terms of only been around a couple of years and there's probably a couple of extra holes, but as I said, buy and beware.
All right. Well, if you're hacking my shit, get stuffed. Right, JT, somebody else wrote in. We had a lot of people go, mate, we want your own segment for the adoption. So we've given you that. We want a bit of Don, a bit more story. We've created that. A lot of the feedback has been bloody overwhelming. One thing that grabbed me is there was some feedback. And the way I read it, was that it was more of somebody has been in a moment of time with you. They were pissed off and they got an axe to grind. And they mentioned you looking out for people. Clearly there's a story, and the one thing we've said is we're not going to shy away from things. I appreciate also too, I'm putting you on the spot here, that sometimes there's things that you just can't say in a public forum, okay? So I'm not asking you to go anywhere that you shouldn't go, but I am asking you to say, mate, can you fill us in a bit more about what that complaint was all about, and what's your take on it? Because I know it would have hurt. When I know you're not, you are a sensitive new age guy, mate. You're the bloody male model. You're a pin-up boy, and I
cried like a baby at Titanic. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
No. But I do know that when we get reviews, we bloody get around and give ourselves a little high five when they're great, and we feel it like a kick in the guts when someone has a crack and they say, "You blokes are shit. Get off the air." Well, that's not going to happen. However, there's more to this story. What can you tell us?
Oh, look, you're right. I mean, there's no point. It's not the right forum to go into a whole bunch of detail. And I think, look, any time you put yourself out there in the public domain, as we're doing now, you open yourself up to some criticism. And if I was to stand here and say that, for the last 48 years I've been a perfect bloody saint, I'd be bullshitting. We've all made mistakes and we all learn from
You've made a lot.
I've made plenty. And I think the reference was back to looking after, someone that owned Call Active that was a business that went under. And it was a bloody sad time. It was a rough time. It was about 4 or 5 years ago, I think, from now. And the company that I was working for, and I was CEO at the time, ended up going under. And when it went under, You know, look, 300-400 people lost their jobs across Australia and New Zealand. It was a really, really tough time.
Right.
And I was probably in some really uncharted territory. It was a privately owned business and it was really difficult towards the end. I think everyone there was all in their own way trying to do what we could to make sure that that company survived. We all believed that it had an awesome, awesome future.
Sure.
And it was really frustrating that we just couldn't bloody, you know, in the call center game, bums on seats is what it's all about. You just need the numbers. And for us, it was just so frustrating, right? We had a really good facility. We had a great management team that we brought in. But, you know, there were still some mistakes that were made and you'd call them out as you see them, but sometimes things are pretty far gone. And I think that was the case, you know, with Call Active, and that's for others to dissect. But I think that the challenge is, you know, for me, do I sleep well at night? And I honestly, you know, look at you and I look at anyone in the eye and say, I don't lose any sleep that I didn't try and do the right thing the whole time.
Right.
And I'm more than happy to fill in people who want to approach me individually and have a bit more of a chat about that. And I know those that are close to me and worked in the sort of senior team know a lot of the details. But, yeah, so I'm happy to explore that further if someone would like to discuss it further.
And I think you touched a good point, mate, and you answered that well. The people that are close to you knew what went down, and if somebody's on the outside and they didn't know all the details and they want to know more, and they've got a right to. I mean, people's livelihoods were flipped upside down.
It's
horrible. Yeah, I really like the fact that you've made yourself available. So if they do want to make contact, then absolutely. I mean, we haven't hidden how you can get online and give us a review and make contact. I mean, people clearly know how to make contact because they've left that bloody review. Wow. So
very true.
But we'll make sure that that conversation continues if it needs to for those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, mate. More than happy to talk.
Excellent. Now, you have got your own little next segment?
Yeah.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yes. So last week, of course, I had the story of the blockout blinds, the saga that is the blockout blinds.
They were shit, didn't work, and you got pissed off.
I wasn't too happy. And, well, we did play for those who haven't heard, you would have heard the voicemail that I played from said company, which we won't name yet for legal reasons. We may name it later.
Yeah.
Look, so I just want to give everyone an update because on the voicemail, they left the opportunity for me to reach out if I wasn't happy. And fair to say I wasn't happy, so I did reach out and had a little bit of a chat with them. And, that was about 3 days ago. And the basis of the conversation really was that Sam, the guy that came out, who told me that he thought he'd come up with a great solution, only to hear that, no, there was no other solution in the voicemail. They were going to go back and question Sam about what his great solution was, and she was going to come back to me.
So they did ask you to pay the bill. Now they've said, hang on, we haven't quite finished on our end because of your feedback, so we'll follow it up.
So they're going to follow it up with Sam. Now, that was a few days ago, and fair to say, they haven't come back to me yet, Don. So there will be more to this story, but I'm hoping next week that I bring everyone a good news. And Sam's come through. They've come up with a solution. They've come out and fitted it, and Justin's sleeping beautifully at night.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are some solutions because we've had a few of our listeners have sent a few. Spiro bloody sent us in a few pictures of blinds.
Where was that bloody a few months ago?
Yeah, when hello, I needed it. Sandra Sully with the late news. Spiro, you could have sent that early, mate. But he also sent a few other things that probably won't help you sleep.
Anyway. That's exactly right. Now, before we wrap up the show, one of the things we really did want to do, and we sort of touched on about the reviews, like generally we do love reading them, and yes, they do hurt when you write some shit ones, but you know what? That's what we use to improve. And if you're not... what's the word? You've got to be uncomfortable to improve. And
it's bullshit. Keep telling us we're good. That works too.
We love a bit of that.
We
too.
Love it.
But one of the things we'd love you guys to do.
Review if we're really shit. Let's be honest. You don't have to. If you've made it all the way to this part of the show and you're still not happy, I'll tell you now, just turn it off and walk away. All right?
Tell us what you don't like. We'll fix it. We'll try.
We'll have a crack.
But yeah, if you can, we'd love you. Seriously. And everyone's like, oh yeah, whatever. But it actually really does make a difference.
Makes
if you can, just
difference.
Jump onto iTunes or Apple Podcasts and just leave us a quick review or give us 4 stars, 1 star, 5 stars, whatever
Bullshit,
it is.
Five.
Of course, we're on fine.
Five.
That'll be bloody awesome. So what else you got for us, Donnie, before we wrap up this beautiful little show?
Nothing. I just want to say thank you to the humans that have gone out of their way to message us. And I tell you what, until next week, it's giddy up.
Just giddy up, nothing else?
That's it. Giddy up.
That's all you got.
Giddy up.
Really? Come on, one more.
Giddy up.
You got to time it.
Giddy up.
There we go.